Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I'm beginning this show in order to continue to spread the word about PTSD service dogs in general, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and just various aspects of service dog life.
How do you deal with the adversity that can occur when somebody objects to the presence of your service dog?
Focus on your dog.
A service dog cannot be a protector. Many handlers don't know what they can't do.
The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on WDVR DV Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. No guests today. I've got some subjects to discuss, and I want to just get this information out there. And we can probably do shows in the future where we'll discuss this with other people, but I think this is pretty important that we get involved in some awareness as disabled individuals, and really we need to address some things that are going on in the service dog community, and we need to put a stop to them. So the first thing I want to talk about is I really should mind my own business, stay out of other service dog groups, especially service dogs for veterans with PTSD groups, if I don't want to get upset. And quite frankly, I had an exchange with another veteran in a PTSD service dog group that really, really upset me, and I'm going to explain why. This person is advocating for the requirement, legal requirement, that service dogs wear vests at all times when they're out. The Americans with Disabilities Act does not require that a service dog be marked in any special way. Many handlers do choose to use vests, collars, leash wraps, some kind of signifying devices to show that it is a service dog. That is a personal choice. It is not a requirement. And I simply pointed out that making a requirement of it would be a violation of the handler's civil rights. And this really upset this person. And I'm still trying to figure out how a veteran who swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, basically swore an oath to defend the liberties and freedoms we enjoy as American citizens, is advocating for limiting those freedoms now, and thinks that he's in the right to do so. I'm not pointing out any names. I'm not going to name the group. If you really want to do the research, I'm sure you can find the exchange. It got pretty heated. But listen, here's what we keep forgetting. First of all, service dogs are not protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act. The law is not about dogs. The service dog portions of the ADA are not about dogs. The ADA protects the right, doesn't grant it, it protects the right of any disabled American citizen to handle a service dog as part of the treatment or assistance for their disability. It also protects the rights of any disabled American to use other assistive devices, to use a cane or a walker, or hearing aids, or at a insulin pump. All of these assistive medical devices, the service dog falls under the exact same category. Legally, and I'm not saying it is physically just a medical device, I'm saying legally, the service dog is an assistive medical device. It qualifies as durable medical equipment. And it is not protected by the law. The use of that service dog by a disabled individual is protected by the law. Now, understanding that service dogs are included legally under the exact same balloon as any other assistive device, braces, canes, walkers, hearing aids, wheelchairs, they're all the same thing. They're all categorically durable medical equipment. understanding that service dogs fall under that. If you then require that only service dog handlers have to do X, Y, and Z, label their dogs, register their dogs, certify their dogs, have provide paperwork, then you are isolating and singling out just that one class of disabled person, the service dog handler. Therefore, contradicting the protection of equal access and equal rights guaranteed by the Americans with Disabilities Act. Requiring a service dog to use a vest is a violation of the disabled handler's civil rights. It's really that simple. Look at the purpose and intent of the law. It is to guarantee, not grant, guarantee equal access and equal civil rights to disabled handlers. By then lumping on more requirements, you are limiting disabled handlers' rights and relegating them to the position of a second-class citizen, excuse me, okay? It is an intrusion onto the civil rights of disabled handlers. I pointed this out. I explained the law. This guy then went on to accuse me of being lazy for not using a vest. Now, I'm sorry, but and I'm going to use some rough language. This asshole doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. He has no understanding of why I choose to use or not use a vest, or when I choose to use or not use a vest. My service dog Skeeter, is an Alaskan Malamute. Alaskan Malamutes have a heavy, thick double coat. They have a thick, down-like undercoat that provides insulation and cooling. Then they have an outer coat or guard hairs that provide protection and keep them fairly dry in wet conditions. If you compact the fur of his coat, that limits both its insulative qualities, its ability to keep him warm in the cold, and its ability to keep him cool in the heat. Malamutes can withstand and function in temperatures as low as 70 degrees below zero Fahrenheit and as high as 80 to 90 degrees above Fahrenheit without suffering injury, if their coat is allowed to breathe. I don't put a vest on Skeeter on a day that's 75 or 80 degrees because I would harm him. He would suffer a heat injury in those temperatures without the ability of his coat to allow air to flow through and provide cooling. It's plain and simple. So this guy, because he thinks it's better for access issues if you're required to put a vest on your dog, calls me lazy for taking my dog's health into consideration over whether or not I'm going to be able to get into a grocery store or a restaurant because my dog doesn't have a vest on it. No, here's what's lazy. Lazy is relying on laws to protect you or your access, relying on laws that limit your freedom and your liberty in order to gain access, rather than understanding the existing laws and, if need be, educating those around you when you're faced with an access challenge. Now, I'm not saying be confrontational. I'm saying be knowledgeable, be educated, understand what the service dog portions of the Americans with Disabilities Act allows you, the disabled handler, to do, what access it allows you, where you are allowed access, why you are allowed access under the law. Understand that. And if people are denying you access because you try to enter with a service dog, understand that you can educate them, and if they continue to refuse access, you can turn around and leave, pick up your phone, contact your state or the federal departments of justice, disability access rights or disability rights section. Most states have their own version of the Department of Justice, Justice's disability rights section. And if they don't, you can contact the Department of Justice at the disability rights section. And you can file a complaint. I always tell people, and I'll say it here, If you have an access issue where you're denied access, start at the state level. Contact whatever version of disability rights your state has. The Department of Justice, 9 times out of 10, will kick it back down to state level, tell you to report it to your state before they'll handle it. Why? They don't just handle service dog access challenge issues. They handle wheelchair access in public buildings, things like that. I mean, they handle probably thousands of contacts and access disputes a day, not just service dog related, but related to all kinds of disability access issues. They're probably going to kick it back down to the state level, which is fine. Most of the states have a disability rights access type office. The state of Oregon, it's part of the Office of Consumer Affairs. They are the ones who deal with disability access issues. Some states have a disability rights section. I think that's exactly what it's called in the state of Texas. So contact your state level. Say, hey, I was trying to enter this business, whatever business, mom's grocery store at such and such a place in Plano, Texas, and I was denied access with my service dog. I tried to explain the Americans with Disabilities Act and the fact that I do have access with my service dog. They continued to deny me access with my dog. I would like to file a complaint. Those state agencies will follow up on it. Different states have different laws. Many of these states have laws that impose fines for denied access. Where I live in the state of North Carolina, it is a $500 fine and a misdemeanor to interfere with a working service dog in any way. If somebody insists on petting my dog and will not back off and will not leave me alone, I can call the police and report them. That's what the law is in this state. It's not, not every state, and it's not a federal law. But look into your state laws. If you're handling a service dog, understand what your state laws are. Understand what the ADA is. Understand the ADA. And teach yourself. Learn to stand up for your rights to access with your service dog. Don't rely on laws that limit your rights in order to get access. And that's really what it boils down to. All these arguments, well, we need to have a registry. We need to have certification. The service dogs have to wear a vest. Proposed laws and rules, all they are doing is proposing that you lose equal rights. That it takes away equal rights, equal to somebody who just walks in wearing shoes. Okay, they have every right to walk in with their shoes on. Doesn't matter what brand the shoes are. But when you start requiring me with my service dog to have a vest on him or to have a registration or to have some kind of certification on hand to prove that he's a service dog, you're limiting my rights as guaranteed by the Americans with Disabilities Act to access that business, go about my business, get what I need to do done, and leave peacefully. Okay? People, we keep getting buried in the forest, and we can't see the trees are in a way. We can't see the forest. We can't see the big picture. What we're discussing here is not dog behavior. It's not fake service dogs. It's not any of those things. We are discussing standing up for your personal rights as guaranteed under the Constitution by the Americans with Disabilities Act. This is federal law. This is part of being a citizen of the United States of America. As a citizen, if you are disabled, you have the right, guaranteed by the Americans with Disabilities Act, to use a service dog. Period. There are requirements. There's responsibilities that go with that right, and that's clearly stated and spelled out in the Americans with Disabilities Act. You are responsible for ensuring that your dog is under your control, or if your dog is not under your control, that you are taking effective action to regain control immediately. This is brilliant on the part of the people who wrote the ADA. Brilliant, because what it does is acknowledge that dogs are living beings. They are not robots, and there is no such thing as a perfect dog. It allows for dogs to be dogs as long as you get a handle on it, regain control of the dog, and either refocus the dog or remove the dog from the situation. Okay? That is a responsibility you have as part of your right to use your service dog, is that you maintain control. Another responsibility that you have as part of your right to use your service dog is that the dog be housebroken. Does that mean that accidents don't happen? No. No, Skeeter, I've been incredibly embarrassed that it's happened because it was my fault twice. One time his stomach was upset and Skeeter had diarrhea in his store. I was incredibly embarrassed. I immediately went to the front. It was a little hardware store and I was buying dog food. Immediately went to the front and said, we just had an accident. He's got to go outside and finish and I will be right back in to clean it up. And I did just that. I ran outside, let him finish pottying, came back in, asked for cleaning supplies, paper towels and spray, and cleaned up the mess. Because that is my responsibility. It doesn't disqualify him as a service dog. He was sick. It was an accident. At that point in time, it was my responsibility to remove him. And as a ethical handler who tries his best to conduct himself as a professional, I then cleaned up after my dog. Second time it happened, it's kind of a similar situation. He was very constipated. He hadn't pooped for a couple of days. And we're walking through the Walmart and little balls of poop are falling out of his butt because it's the moving. It's just making him go. Again, same situation. Completely accidental. He wasn't feeling well. It was my responsibility to make sure he got a chance to go poop before we went in. And that didn't happen. I was at fault. What did I do? Cleaned up. Removed him immediately. Took him out, he went poop, and we finished our trip by leaving and came back another day. That was my fault as the handler, both times. It wasn't Skeeter's fault he was constipated. It wasn't Skeeter's fault he had diarrhea, either time. It was my fault for not picking up on the signals my dog was trying to put down. He was telling me he wasn't feeling well and that he had to go out, but I wasn't paying attention. Okay, part of that responsibility as a handler is to listen to your dog. The number one piece of advice, I give on PTS Dog on the Facebook page over and over and over when people talk about, oh, this happened or that happened. Listen to your dog. That includes not only the alerts the dog is giving you regarding your medical condition, but also the alerts your dog is giving you about its own condition. Dogs ask to go out once they're potty trained. When they know they're not supposed to go potty indoors, they tell you. They whine. They fuss. They act squirrely. They bark. They do something to indicate to you, hey, I need to go outside and go potty. If you're not picking up the message from your dog, that's not your dog's fault. That is entirely your fault as the handler. Pay attention to your dog. The give and take that is a functional service dog team. It's just that. It's give and take. You are a member of a team. You are working together and you are giving each other information constantly. Skeeter and I, when I enter a store with Skeeter, we talk the whole time. He doesn't use words, but I do. First of all, I tell him where we're going. I use sled dog commands because that's what I learned when I was growing up in Alaska mushing dogs. Ha is left and G is right. Whoa is stop and let's go is let's go. Okay? So as we're moving through the aisles and I decide I want to take a left on aisle 3, well, Skeeter doesn't understand, hey, let's take a left on aisle 3. Okay? But he does understand ha when I'm about 6 feet away. And that's a preparatory command that lets him know we're going to turn left right up here. So I'm constantly communicating with him. You know, we're turning left. We're turning right. Ha, G, ha. Gee, and when he does what he's supposed to, turns left up there at the aisle, and I tell him, good job. So I'm continuously communicating with my dog. I'm talking to him. And the same way he communicates with me, and this is where that bond that you form with your service dog is so important. You need to understand your dog just as well as you need your dog to understand you, okay? A PTSD service dog should be trained to alert you when you are getting to that point where you're going to be triggered and you're going to have some kind of an episode, whether it's a rage attack, a panic attack, you just shut down, you get dissociative, however PTSD manifests itself for you. The way a PTSD service dog should work is that the dog alerts you before you get there. And by refocusing your attention on your dog, whatever the environmental issue is around you, that it's pushing you to that point where you're stressing, and those stressors are headed towards a trigger, you end up ignoring the stressors or reducing the stressors, focusing on the dog and not getting triggered. A PTSD service dog that you have trained and have worked with together, either one-on-one where you're owner training or cooperatively training, where you're working with an organization such as TADSAW, where you take your dog to classes and they teach you how to train your dog, because that's essentially what they do. But you're responsible for that dog 24/7 from the very beginning. Okay. You then build a bond with your dog where you understand what your dog is communicating and you're able to respond appropriately. So if your dog is alerting you, hey, you're getting stressed out, you understand, oh, okay, I need to do this, whatever that step may be. Sometimes I've been completely overwhelmed at a very crowded Walmart. I found a place over in the side between two of those long, low coolers that they put over by the cheese and all of that, where there's a nice little 8-foot wide place in between that's sort of protected, where I could stop, get down on my knees, and just spend a little time allowing Skeeter to do deep pressure therapy against my chest to calm me down. I call it taking a Skeeter break. He kept telling me, look, you're freaking out. You're overwhelmed. You're overloaded. I needed to continue my shopping mission. I had to get finished getting groceries. So I took the time to take a Skeeter break for about 3 minutes, just nothing but me and Skeeter, and shut out the whole world, get my adrenaline levels lower, start releasing cortisol and calming, focused on my breathing while he was doing deep pressure therapy. And that grounded me, got me back focused where I could finish getting the groceries I needed. I managed to fill my cart and complete the entire list, get checked out, and leave without an incident where I had a panic attack and just left the cart and left. And that's, you know, it used to be that way. I would just panic, turn around, and leave. Leave the cart in the middle of the aisle with, you know, 30 items in it. Don't care. Can't do it. I'm done. I couldn't shop before I had Skeeter. I couldn't shop before he and I both learned together what was setting me off and how to refocus with his help in order to avoid having those panic attacks. Look, as service dog handlers, we have responsibilities. It's our responsibility to make sure our dog is well behaved in public. And if the dog's not behaving, to redirect it or to remove it from that situation. Just, you know, if your dog's having a bad day, you can usually come back later or come back tomorrow. Pay attention to your dog. Listen to your dog. And I mean, it's the same thing. Again, you know, it's not lazy to not use a vest. It's lazy to not understand that the laws are there to protect you, whether you have a vest on your dog or not, and to try and rely on laws rather than understanding the law and educating people. The laws are already there to protect you. You don't need something silly like a vest. And not only that, but you know, I had a conversation with the ADA hotline about vests and about what it means, the phrase in the ADA about service dogs, what it means when it says, when it is not evident that a dog is a service dog, businesses may ask. Well, what does that mean when it is not evident? Well, it's pretty simple. I had this conversation. I'm quoting as closely as I can to the ADA specialist who I discussed this with. I said, so if I go in, my dog is vested, and she said, stop right there. She said, the vest doesn't mean anything. Get rid of the vest. The vest doesn't have anything to do with it. And I said, well, you're right. Anybody can get a vest. A vest is no big deal. You're right. The vest has absolutely no reflection whatsoever on your dog's level of training. It doesn't mean anything. I will go so far to say is if your dog is unable to do its job without its vest, and only can do it with its vest, then there's something going on with your training, okay? Your dog should be able to perform its tasks, behave in public, and not potty indoors, whether or not it's wearing a vest. Now, a lot of people use the vest as a sign, okay, we're going to work, and that's great. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. If that helps your dog focus, great, but you need to get your dog to a place where it can focus without the vest. Because what if you're unable to use the vest? What if you're traveling, the vest is in the back where you can't get to it easily, but you've got to stop and run in and you need your service dog with you? So, you know, it's a potty emergency. You've come up to the convenience store, you have to go, you need your service dog, but the vest is in the back. What are you going to do? Stand there and pee yourself while you take the time to put the vest on the dog, which you took off because you've been in the car for 3 hours and that's uncomfortable no matter who you are, right? Okay. Or are you just going to work your dog without the vest? Dogs don't have to have vests to do their jobs. Okay. The vest means nothing. And that's what the lady said. The vest means nothing. Here's what that phrase means when it says, when it is not evident what task a service dog has performed that businesses may ask. If I roll in a wheelchair with my dog in a harness helping pull the wheelchair, it is blatantly obvious. It's very clear. That is a service dog that is assisting me with my wheelchair. It's not so blatantly obvious or clear at all that I have PTSD and my dog is assisting with PTSD. Okay? That's not obvious. So any business is well within their rights at that point in time when it's not clear what the dog's doing to come up to me and say, is that a service dog? And what tasks is it trained to perform? Those are the only questions you have to ask by law. Those are the only questions that businesses are allowed to ask of you by law. Is that a service dog trained to perform tasks to assist with a disability? And what tasks is it trained to perform? That's it. That's all you have to answer. And I have walked right past a store employee who demanded to see registration, who demanded to know why Skeeter wasn't wearing a vest. I've looked at her straight in the face and said, not only can you not ask me that, but you're not asking me the questions you legally can. You need to go look up the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now I'm going to go about my business. And I went and continued shopping. I got up, well, I never, which is fine. You probably haven't, because people are too scared to stand up when you, as a store employee, are bullying a disabled handler. Okay, this is really simple. And people think, oh, these service dog handlers, they just want special treatment. No. Special treatment is not what we're looking for. Service dog handlers do not want special treatment. All we want is equal treatment. That's what the Americans with Disabilities Act guarantees us. Equal treatment as to any other member of the general public, disabled or abled. That's it. We just want equal treatment. That's what the Americans with Disabilities Act was written to guarantee. And when you start trying to limit that right to use a service dog by saying, well, you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do this, when you start putting limitations on it, you are removing equality and you are relegating service dog handlers to second-class citizens. That's not why I joined the United States Navy and served for almost 15 years. I served to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. I served to guarantee liberty for my fellow Americans, not limit it with stupid rules that have nothing to do with the ability of the dog to perform its tasks to assist me with my disability. Shame on you if you're a veteran and you're pushing for registration or you're pushing for rules that say that the service dogs have to wear this or have to wear that. Shame on you. You are wrong. You are advocating for limitation of equality if a disabled person uses a service dog. You're relegating disabled people who choose to use a service dog to the position of a second-class citizen. Shame on you. That's it for this edition of the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I apologize if you weren't up for the rant, but it had to be put out there. This will be the last show for 2018. Look forward to doing many new shows in 2019. Also, don't forget, you can listen to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog on dvradio.net, WDVR. There are plenty of other shows to look at. One that I think is pretty fantastic is the one David Libby's show, which I'm blocking on what it's called, Contraband with David Libby. David Libby interviews many different entertainers from the rock world. It's a very interesting show. You can find it on Saturday nights on dvradio.net. Usually at, I believe it airs at 7 and then repeats at 11 p.m. When there are episodes. You can also listen to the podcasts on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, and many other places. So thank you very much for listening to me ramble on. Don't forget to pick up your copy of the book, PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder and the Service Dog. It's available at booklocker.com, amazon.com, and barnesandnoble.com. If you do choose to purchase a copy of the book from amazon.com, please consider using smile.amazon.com and choosing DV Farm as your charity of choice. A small portion of that purchase with no cost to you will be donated to DV Farm. Thank you very much. This is Joaquin Watai, your friend PTS Dog. Have a great day.